Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
I am doing good, man. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be on as usual.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode. The season 13 premiere of this show. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for all the support over the years. It was about 12 years ago, November 2nd, 2009 is when Mac and I did the first show. And, I'm just happy that we're still here, doing this show. And, provide a place for you guys and ladies to talk sports and entertainment. Last week, you know, we celebrate the 500th episode. You know, we aired the first couple of minutes of the pilot episode. And, you know, we reflected on, you know, the past and the present and dare I say even the future of sports and how it affected us as, you know, diehard sports fans. So if you want to check out that episode or any of the episodes, you know, feel free to check them out, you know. And again, thank you for the support. But, you know, basically on this episode, episode 501, to be exact, you know, we're going to talk about the resurgent Knicks, their big win against the Bucks last night. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the Jets' embarrassing loss to the Colts on Thursday night. You know, we'll preview the Giants game, you know, against the Raiders coming up tomorrow. You know, we'll talk a little baseball with how the Mets and, you know, the Yankees are going to, what moves they might make in the offseason. And, of course, you know, after the aftermath of course, the Braves winning their title, snapping their titleless streak, you know, since they haven't won one, you know, since 1995 until a couple of days ago. Now that I think about it, it was literally on the anniversary of this show, you know. So that was a nice little Easter egg. Yeah, I'll talk more about that. And, you know, talk about the WWE roster cuts. I mean, that's just a rant. That's just a whole episode within itself I could go on. You know, just the cuts they've had just this year and especially the last couple of years. I mean, but trust me, we're going to get into that. We'll talk about AEW and their upcoming pay-per-view event. Full Gear, gonna go down next week. But most importantly, you guys know the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, with that said, yeah, let's talk. Yeah, let's talk Knicks basketball. Yeah, I mean, what more can we say about the Knicks? I mean, that we haven't said last week and maybe a week before that. The Knicks, they've really been road warriors. You know, they're 6-3. I think they're 4-1 on the road probably. I mean, they've been sensational. And then they had their best win since the shot clock era, you know. They became the first team, you know, since, 1945, 1955 to you know, overcome what was it?
20-point deficit.
A 15-point, or in this case, a 21.
20-point deficit.
21-point deficit, and then win the game by,
15 points.
Oh yeah, probably was. Yeah, it climbed up to 22 at one point. But yeah, but then towards the garbage time when the bench got cleared out, and we actually saw a sighting of Kevin Knox, and I literally forgot he was on the team. Like, this was the second game of the season for him. You know, but yeah, phenomenal win. Like, this is like probably the second or third win this year that I already penciled in my mind that it's a loss, and the Knicks end up coming back and winning this game. I mean, this is a key victory. Yes, I mean, you know, Middleton wasn't there, and Brook Lopez wasn't there, but all in all, this was a great win. This was, you know, beating the Bucks in their home court, the defending world champions, man, like, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Like, props to the Knicks, man. They beat the Greek Freak. Like, I mean, that was an amazing victory. And RJ Barrett, man, he put on a show. I think what did he score, like 20 points or so? I can't remember the actual points. Yeah, he's been averaging 19.2 points a game, almost 6 rebounds, you know, this season. Like, I mean, you know, props to Barrett. Randall, he was good too. I think he scored like, 35 points or so? 32 points, and then he had like, I think 12 rebounds.
Yeah. The real MVP of this game was Derrick Rose, though, because had his best performance of the season with 23 points. And he finally played, you know, more than 20-something minutes. And he had 30 minutes in this game and had 23 points in his 8 rebounds, 4 assists. And he made an impact, you know. Mm-hmm. It's because a lot of times in the second half, Knicks were playing sloppy ball. But with Rose in the game, it was a more structured offense out there and more cohesive unit. Yeah. So, and his performance led to us coming back in that game. So you got to give him credit.
Absolutely, man. You took the words right out of my mouth, man. Like he was clearly the MVP. Like he really turned back the clock from like his rookie year. With the Bulls when he won rookie and MVP, like he was like he torched the Bucks, man. Like you would have thought it would have been in garbage minutes, but he you know from the second half on, but like he really ignited the whole Knick offense. Like you know quickly you know he scored 9 points as well. But yeah, Rose, man, Rose was knocking down threes, you know, laying the ball up, you know, and then keeping us in the game. And ultimately, the Knicks went on like at least a 17-3 run in the third quarter. I think it was the fourth, because the Knicks they finally tied the game up at 80, you know, and that was the first time since the first quarter when the game was tied six. You know, tied at six. And yeah, man, you can see why Derrick Rose won the MVP in 2011. He was just the ball deserved to him. Like the game ball, like he totally deserved it. Like,
oh yeah,
props to him. That was the Derrick Rose game right there. I mean,
sure.
It was reminiscent of the game in the playoffs against the Hawks where he led us to that only victory, you know, that we had in that series.
Yeah, he had a great game, man. You know, Randall also, he in the second half, he went to beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he took over that game as well. So
mm-hmm.
He played really well. But, yeah, the Knicks. And, you know, also another difference maker has been Nerlens Noel.
Oh, yeah, Noel, yep.
He had how many rebounds? I think it was 13 rebounds. And although he had 6 points, I mean, he made his presence felt just like he did last year
mm-hmm.
when he come up with big key shot blocks, you know? So I feel like him coming back from that injury, that is going to help us,
mm-hmm.
Make us a little bit bigger now in the front court. And, yeah, I mean, he's going to help us tremendously going forward defensively.
Mm-hmm.
So he's another guy that made an impact for us. But it was good to snap that 2-game losing streak that we had there. And now we're 6-3 on the season. And
yeah.
If we win tomorrow, we'll be 7-3. I mean, mm-hmm. 7 out of 10 games to start the season isn't bad.
Nope, not bad at all. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. They're going to be facing the Cavaliers. And, yeah, thank you for reminding me about Noel. Like, yeah, he was really holding down the fourth, and you know, Mitchell Robinson made his contributions as well. And I think it was Noel that was saying, like, you know, he envisions both of them being the, like, the Twin Towers, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, man, like, I mean, the sky's the limit for both of those guys if they can stay healthy, you know. I mean, he, yo, they, I mean, they really kept the Greek Freak in check, like, and, you know, Antetokounmpo, whatever you want to pronounce the guy's name, the Greek Giannis,
yeah.
Or Giannis, I should say. You know, he only scored 25 points and grabbed 7 rebounds, man. I mean, they really held that guy in check. The Knicks at one point was trailing, 38-19 in the first quarter. And, you know, and then afterwards the Knicks dominated the other quarters. Like, they, you know, the Knicks, you know, scored 37 points to 25, the Bucks 25 in the second. Third quarter, they scored 32, the Bucks only scored 20. And then that fourth quarter, the Knicks, you know, they scored 25 points and the Bucks only scored 15. And, you know, the Knicks were able to snap their two-game losing streaks, which they had against the Pacers and the Raptors. Yeah, it was a huge you know, victory, and they're gonna be facing the 6-4 Cavs coming up, you know.
And we will be at the game tomorrow.
Oh yeah, so that's gonna be a huge game. The Cavs are on a 3-game winning streak. Yeah, man, this is gonna be a big game for both teams, you know. Really looking forward to that.
I hope to meet the Bing Bong guy tomorrow too.
Hopefully
he's there at the MSG.
Maybe. Hopefully get that W, man. Cause the Knicks, man, the Knicks are back, man. The Knicks are back. You know, just the way we like it, man. It's been a long time coming. Long time coming indeed. They're making the city proud, man. Like, that's all we ask for them. Just, you know, play hard. And, yeah, let the chips fall where they may. And hopefully it will eventually title in the near future. I mean, the Knicks keep it up. Who knows? I mean, they're actually playing defense, you know. And this was the first game they won where they weren't scoring well. Much less, because all the other wins they had, like, they won because, you know, they had timely defense and, you know, the three ball was working for them. But yesterday was not the case. Like, they really earned that paycheck last night, you know, so props to them. Anything else on your mind, Mac?
No, I'm just excited to go to the Knicks game tomorrow and see them play. And, yeah, I'm going to be pumped up, man, with my Patrick Ewing jerseys, my Knicks cap. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to that for sure. Yeah, so tomorrow night, we're going to be hosting the Cavs. Monday night, we're going to be the Knicks are going to be going to Philly. Wednesday night, they're going to host the Bucks. Hopefully the Bucks won't be able to return the favor like the Magic did. Friday night, they're going to go to the Charlotte against the Hornets. And then Monday night, they're going to host the Pacers. So that's basically the end of this week. But in tribute of the Knicks, man, I'm going to take a little break before I start talking about the Nets. We'll be right back. When I hear this song, you know, I think about the Knicks, the 90s Knicks, you know, the recent Knicks heyday, even though unfortunately didn't bring a title. But you know what song I'm talking about, Mac. I think you might be familiar with this song.
Go New York.
Well, that's one of them. Hey, maybe I should play that one. But this is the song I was thinking in my head.
Okay.
You know what? I'll play the. You know, I'll play them back to back. But this is the song I was thinking. You listen to Sports Urban Legend. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the season 13 premiere of Sports on the Legend with your host, William Mamo. That's yours truly. And, of course, Macaulay on the other line. Yeah, man, this is – yeah, when I hear those two songs, man, I just – you know, I just think of the good old days of the Knicks. Unfortunately, all those good old days in the 90s ended up in heartbreak, especially – you know, most certainly because of Jordan, and obviously, you know, Olajuwon in 94, and then, you know, the Twin Towers of Duncan and Robinson at the genesis of their modern-day dynasty, you know. So, yeah, hopefully the Knicks can, you know, they're going in the right direction, you know, with Thibodeau, a coach I've been preaching for them to hire for years to hire. They finally hired him last year. And, you know, they're going in the right direction. Leon Rose, you know, first time GM, long time, you know, agent. You know, he's doing his thing and he's surrounding himself with brilliant people. So,
yeah,
you know, people do good work.
Things for the Knicks right now. You know, they're playing well. You know, they've got the city on their back and it's feeling like we're in the 90s again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hopefully the Knicks can continue this.
Yeah, hopefully the Knicks can finally win that title and, you know, make all this, you know, heartbreaking, long, you know, long-suffering Knicks fans, you know, who's been suffering, I mean, since the 90s, but going back to the Knicks fans who actually remembers the 70 and 73 Knicks teams as we're, you know, vastly approaching the 50 anniversary mark if we don't snap it, you know, in these next couple of years. Yeah, it's long overdue. The Knicks need another title, man. But time will tell. At least they're going in the right direction. So props to them.
Yeah, can't wait to go to that game tomorrow.
Oh yeah, hopefully, you know, we'll beat the Cavs, man. They don't got Kyrie and LeBron anymore. Hopefully, you know, we can get that W.
Yep.
But shifting gears to a team that also plays in New York, Brooklyn to be exact, you know, our hometown, is the Nets. The Nets, they're going to be hosting, I think, the Raptors, if I'm not mistaken. No, actually, they're going to go to the Raptors tomorrow afternoon. But yeah, their last game they won by the final score of 96-90. You know, the Irvingless Nets, you know, they got the W, you know, thanks to Kevin Durant's double-double performance, 29 points, 10 rebounds. James Harden with another triple-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds and 10 assists, and he just passed Clyde the Glide Drexler for 31st all-time on the all-time scoring list. So, you know, congratulations to him. What's your thoughts on that, Mac?
Who passed who on the Clyde Drexler scoring list?
What was I going to say?
Kevin Harden, you said?
Yeah, James Harden.
I said Kevin Harden. James Harden. Well, congrats to him, you know, because James Harden, I mean, he's one of the best scorers, you know, of this generation. And
mm-hmm.
he goes to the free throw line a lot. But, you know, the recent rule change where you lean into a defender to draw a foul, that's been kind of affected him. He's not scoring as many
mm-hmm.
points this season as he's had in the past. But, yeah, congrats to him, man. It's well-deserved. But there was a funny thing that happened in yesterday's Nets game. I don't know if you saw this, but Harden was dribbling a ball, and I guess the ball was poked by the defender, and the ball started to roll, you know, in the on the other side of the court, and Harden started to chase it down, and then he stopped thinking that the ball went off his foot or he last touched it, so he's thinking that it was going to roll out of bounds, but before it could even go out of bounds, the opposing player picked up the ball and drove to the basket to dunk it because of Harden's laziness.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look at that play on YouTube to see what I'm talking about. But sometimes Harden can be lazy on defense. So I don't know what happened there, but, you know, just seeing that, it looked like a glitch in a video game, kind of. You know, he just froze there. Guess he forgot.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely got to see that highlight.
Yeah.
I guess he wanted to be Buckhead Theory because, with his triple-double performance, he surpassed Larry Bird for seventh most on the all-time list. This was his 60th.
Wow.
And he also became the fifth player in NBA history to have a triple-double where he had no two-pointers. Can you get this? He had
no two-pointers.
No two-pointers. Got a triple-double. And he has – there's five people on this list that also had at least a triple-double where they didn't score, you know, a two-pointer.
Wow.
You know, a two-point basket. You want to guess who the other four are?
That didn't have a two-pointer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
One of them is very easy.
Steph Curry?
No, it's not Steph Curry. Not a bad guess, though.
He plays in today's game?
No, he doesn't play in today's game.
Oh, and you said it's very easy?
Yeah, he's one of the greatest, triple double guys.
Reggie Miller?
No.
Larry Bird?
No, not a bad guess. You know, this guy has a lot of triple doubles.
Magic Johnson?
That's an extremely great guess. But no,
Oscar Robertson?
Another great, extremely great guess. This should be the next one. Give you one more.
You see, you're saying I should have gotten it. I mean, those are great names already.
Yeah, you're on the right track. So those last two guys, you're on the right track. It should be your next guess.
It should be my next guess.
I bet you didn't get on the next guess.
Jason Kidd?
See, didn't I tell you? See, I got faith in you. I told you. You're going to get it on this next guest. See? Folks, we didn't rehearse this. You know, this guy, man. I told you he was going to get this. I even gave you a clue that you're extremely close with Jason Kidd.
Actually, no, that was not a clue. I just
kept
guessing.
Yes, it was. What do those two guys have in common? They both had a lot of triple-doubles, and what's the obvious thing that Oscar Robertson, Jason Kidd, and Magic Johnson have in common.
Yeah. But Jason Kidd's not much of a scorer. That's the thing, right? So.
Okay. Well, yeah. What do they have in common? What does Magic Johnson.
Well, yeah. They're both good passers, right? And they're triple doubles, yeah. Well, then, Jason Kidd, you know, he's not a really good scorer. So, you know, I still could have gotten that wrong.
Yeah, but what position normally has the best passer of the team on it?
The point guard.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the clue. That was my subtle clue to you.
Yeah.
But, yes, very good. All right, so, yeah, Jason Kidd, Delon Wright, Steve Blake, and Kirk Heinrich. Those are the other four that set the mark.
Wow.
So, you know, congrats to you know, him.
Yeah, congrats.
And... Okay, so, you want to guess who makes the top 10 in triple-doubles?
The top 10 in triple-doubles right now?
All right, I'll give you the top five. I'll make you guess top five.
Top five? The top five players of all time?
With triple-doubles.
Of course, Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson is number three.
Oscar Robertson.
That's number two.
Jason Kidd, as you said.
That's four.
Harden.
Harden is seven.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, remember, just passed him with 59, so he's number eight.
Yeah. LeBron James.
LeBron James is number five. So you're one more away, and you're gonna get you should get this one. Who has the most triple-doubles of all time?
Did I say Oscar Robertson? said that right.
Yeah,
right?
You already said him. He's number two.
Who's the other guy? Triple doubles. Of all time. Well, who's the other guy that I'm trying to think of? Give me a guess.
Okay. This guy, he passes the ball well. He shoots the ball well. And he rebounds the ball well. This person has a triple double.
Give me a city or something, man.
I give you the city, that's gonna be giving.
Or give me one of the teams he plays for. He had to play for a number of teams. Come on.
Fine. This guy has put on a Lakers uniform before.
He's put on a Lakers uniform. I said Magic Johnson already.
Correct.
So this is another league. Okay.
I give you two guesses.
Jerry West?
It's not Jerry West. One more guess.
Who's the other leaguer that put on that? Let me see. Oh, Elgin Baylor?
Nope.
No, it can't be Elgin Baylor. The other leaguer? And this guy's number three?
No, this person's number one.
Oh, he's number one. Oh, Will Chamberlain. Forgot.
Will Chamberlain is a great guess. He's number six, but that's
Will
not.
Wow. Laker at number one with triple-double, and it's not.
No. This person has played for the Lakers. I didn't say he's.
Oh,
played.
He's, okay.
Because remember, all these people play for the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
You got one. I give you an extra guess.
And he's number one. Wow. Who is
all
guy?
Time in triple doubles. You got one guess. You used up all your guesses, but I'll give you this one.
Wow, I can't even think of him. And he played for the Lakers. Who is this guy? And this guy was a point guard?
Yes. This person is known as a point guard, and this person has put on the Laker uniform in his career.
Let me see. I want to say Pete Maravich, but Pete Maravich never played for Lakers. He played for the Celtics. This has to be like a really. And why don't I notice? And you know, I have a NBA encyclopedia that I had back in the 90s with all these stats, and I should notice.
I'm going to give you the Jeopardy thing, the song. You guessed it before the Jeopardy song? Then
you got to give me another guess, man. You got to give me another clue.
Okay, this person has put on the Laker uniform before in his career. Very talented.
Uh-huh.
And let me think of another clue. Man, I'm trying to think of a clue.
Okay, wait. So you're saying he's put on a Laker uniform before, but what year did he play in?
I can't give you that. If I give you that, you're going to know the answer.
What other guy can think of? Because you're making it seem like this is a past player.
Let me even put this on.
I mean, yeah, the only other guy I can think of right now would be on the current team, which would be what Russell Westbrook, but he's not a past player.
You are correct. It is Westbrook?
Oh, okay. You might seem like this guy used to play for the Lakers.
No, I said this person has worn the Laker uniform.
He is wearing the Lakers uniform.
I never said what year he wore the Lakers uniform.
He has one, like he in the past or something.
Well, he has worn it. I mean, it might have been starting this year, but he has. He's currently wearing it.
That was the worst cool man. So this guy was like, you know, in the 70s or something, 60s.
Well, when you said that, you know, you have to look in your books, your 90s book. I was going to say that wouldn't help you, but, you know, I'll just see how far you're going to go with this. So, yes, Russell Westbrook is the guy with the most triple-doubles of all time. Would you like a quick guess to guess what the number might be?
He's number one.
Well, yeah, I know that. But let me see. What is his number?
Were you talking about how many?
Yeah.
I don't know, like 150 maybe?
Not bad. The answer is 185, and obviously and counting, of course, because
yeah,
he's an active player. So
yeah.
He currently wears the Laker uniform, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, his numbers are still going to keep growing. So great job. Great job. You knocked out all the guesses.
Thank you.
All right, so, yeah, shifting gears to football. And, man, I mean, what more can you say about that Jets loss? If you look up in the dictionary, the phrase insult to injury, you're going to see the butt fumble, and you're going to especially see this game because the Colts put a whooping on the Jets, man. Not only that, but Mike White, who was, you know, the great Mike Hope, the great White Hope, you know, for the Jets, you know, he was great. You know, in his debut, his previous start, and you know he was playing well so far. You know, he went 7 for 11, 2 for 95 yards, had a touchdown, and he got hurt. And that was the only highlight of the Jets that game because they just got demolished by the Colts. It was not even funny. 45-30 does not tell the story. Like that was, they beat the Jets like they stole something. Like it was just an embarrassing loss. Josh Johnson in his, you know, in relief of he threw for 27 out of 41 with 317 yards. He threw for 3 touchdowns, but he also had an interception. But yeah, man, this game was not even close. The Jets defense was very offensive, and the Jets, they're going to have to rebound next Sunday when they host the Bills and also host the Dolphins on the 21st. So, yeah, man, the Jets are in a real mess here, man. What's your thoughts on the state of the Jets?
Yeah, watching that game on Thursday, I mean, the Jets, that defense was horrible. That's probably the game was like the worst Jets defense I've ever seen. I mean, 45 points, and then they couldn't stop the run at all. I mean, the Colts were running like they were in a track meet. Like they were running like this is the New York City Marathon that's going to be on TV later tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Ain't lying.
Jonathan Taylor, he went for 172 yards, had 2 touchdowns. I mean, he had his way with the Jets. Naeem Hines had a touchdown. I mean, they couldn't stop the run at all. Couldn't even stop the pass even.
Nope.
But, yeah, I mean, that was a horrible performance, man. Jets have to do better. Yeah, I mean, offense, you know, wasn't that bad. Offense scored 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, offense could have won that game for them still.
Yeah.
But
they could have.
The defense, yeah, was atrocious. I've never, that's the worst
defense I've seen the Jets play ever.
Yeah, man, you're not lying, man. Mike White started off good. Josh Johnson had a good game with himself. So the offense was not at fault here. It was definitely the defense, and that's Robert Saleh's calling card. And the defense have had some embarrassing losses this year, you know.
Yeah.
And now they're 2-6. Yeah, man. And like I was mentioning, to add insult to injury, Marcus May, he's gonna be out for the rest of the year with a torn Achilles heel, you know, that he injured in the third quarter of the game. So he has a mess of, hopefully he can have a speedy recovery and come back sometime next year, you know, at the earliest. Yeah, man, this is a big loss for the Jets. He tweeted about it, leaning on my fate. Y'all just pray for me and wish the best for me. I love my teammates more than y'all know. Hold it down. I'll be all right. God got me. So yeah, man, he's keeping the faith. You know, he knows God has a plan for him, and you know, hopefully he'll have I can't say a speedy recovery, but for his case, I mean, the torn Achilles heel, I mean, that's no joke. But you know, hopefully, you know, he could, you know, bounce back from this tough injury.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Croft, he's going to be out for several weeks after he suffered a long laceration. So I mean, this is getting crazy, man.
Yeah.
All these injuries. And then, you know, you got Wilson trying to come back, you know. Yeah, it's just a crazy situation with, you know, for gangrene. And then not to mention they're going to be hosting divisional rivals these upcoming weeks, man. If they want to have a miracle, they have to try to turn it around. But it looks like the season's already over already, you know. But shifting gears to Big Blue, your Giants, they're going to be battling the Raiders, man. What's your thoughts on tomorrow's game?
Yeah, they play the Raiders tomorrow afternoon at MetLife. It's going to be another tough game. Raiders coming in at 5-2, I believe. The Raiders are very good. Raiders just cut that player, Henry Ruggs, who got into that DWI, so they cut him. So they've been dealing with their own controversy this season. You know, and also, if you remember, some weeks back, they had their coach who decided to step down because of his controversial comments that he made.
All right.
So Raiders been dealing with a lot of controversy this season, but they've been overcoming it somehow. You know, they have one of the best records in AFC, and they're going to come into town tomorrow, give us some tough competition, and hopefully we can try to win this game tomorrow. This past Monday night, we lost to the Chiefs in a tough-fought game. You know, it looked like at one point we were going to win it, but the Chiefs just came down and, you know, scored the winning field goal, and we ended up losing. So hopefully we can try to get this win tomorrow against the Raiders, but it's going to be a tough matchup. And these next several weeks are going to be tough. I mean, after this Raiders game, we have the Bucs the following week, and then our rival Eagles the week after that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a tough stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. Not lying, man. The Giants are in the same boat as the Jets. They're both 2-6, and they need to get some W's to even have somewhat of a chance of trying to come back. But
yeah,
yes, it's a tough hill that they're trying to climb out of.
And some more footballs. Odell Beckham, him and the Browns have decided to part ways, and he's going to be placed on waivers. So no one signs him, he'll be a free agent. And as a Giant fan, I mean, I would love to see him back, but, you know, I don't want the drama associated with Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a distraction at times. I mean, he's a talented wide receiver, you know, athletic player, but he can be a diva sometimes. I have to admit. So that part of his game I do not want, but I would love to have his talent back on the team. I mean, this is a guy who could, you know, run and catch the ball and do amazing things when he's healthy. We haven't seen that the last several years from him. So whichever team he goes on, I mean, he's definitely going to help them out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very talented player. But yeah, he does have the baggage that, you know, everywhere he goes, there's always controversy. It follows him. But like a suitcase when you think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody wants his baggage, but, you know, we'll see. You know, when you're a talented player, you know, and you can still play, you know, they'll take that chance with you. So,
yep,
we'll see what happens.
By the way, do you mind if I give my I usually do this on my show, but I want to give my fantasy football picks for week 9.
Sure, go ahead.
So for those of you who play fantasy football, you know, DraftKings, FanDuel, or Yahoo, or ESPN, here's some guys I think you should pick up in your fantasy football leagues. Let's say if you're playing daily fantasy. Quarterback Joe Burrow versus the Browns. Running back Boston Scott versus Chargers. Wide receiver Brandon Cooks versus Miami Dolphins. At tight end, Tyler Conklin versus Ravens. Kicker Justin Tucker versus Vikings. And defense special teams versus Bills versus Jaguars. So that's my picks, plays that you can pick up, you know, if you're playing one-on-one matchups in daily fantasy, or you're doing one of those daily fantasy teams where you just, you know, select different players at different positions. So hope it works out for you guys.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you for that, for your fantasy football tips.
You're welcome. Hey, from a guy who's won a championship before, hey, you got to follow my advice.
You heard the man. Oh, one more thing. What's your thoughts on Saquon Barkley not being able to play tomorrow?
Yeah, it sucks. You know, these last few seasons, we haven't seen much of Barkley, and this is just another setback. You know, I hope we can see him return to the field soon, because when he's healthy, he's a dynamic player, and he can really help this team right now and help the offense. So I hope he has a speedy recovery and we can see him in the Giant uniform before the season over.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
You know, from that ankle injury he had against the Cowboys in week 5. So,
yeah.
And, yeah, this is going to be the fourth straight game he's missed. And, you know, he's only played in 7 games for the past couple of years. So hopefully he can, bounce back.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, shifting gears. Before I get to baseball, did you hear about the allegations that surrounds the Phoenix owner, Robert Sarver?
Yeah, I've heard. And the NBA is looking into that right now.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. Like, you know, they just was dealing with the Donald Sterling thing several years ago, and now, you know, Robert Sarver is, you know, Donald Sterling part two.
Yeah, it just shows you that, you know, some people, they'll smile in your face and act like they're good with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yet, they're bigots behind the closed doors, racists.
Yep. Yeah, reportedly he's said the N-word multiple times and, you know, said a lot of misogynistic things towards women. And, unfortunately, what can you say? Unfortunately, that's how some people are. Like you said, they act like, you know, they're tolerant people, but, you know, they just show their true colors, you know, eventually. So, can you do? You know, we'll see what the NBA does, you know. But, yeah. Shifting gears to the MLB, you know, the Braves won the, you know, the World Series for the first time in since 1995. So, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, what are your thoughts?
I feel you're going to turn the tables on me.
Because you're the, you know, that's your rival in your division, and I know that you didn't want the Braves to win the World Series.
Yep.
So how do you feel, Will, about the Braves
winning
the World Series in what? This since 95, right?
Yep.
First championship since then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be very honest with you because, you know, we keep it real on this show. I'm not happy about it, but unfortunately, you know, I expected it to happen. You know, you thought the Dodgers was going to go to the World Series and beat the Astros. I mean, that was wishful thinking on your part, you know, but I thought, unfortunately, the Braves had a shot. You know, the Braves came out of nowhere, 82-win team, after the Mets choked the division. Mets held the division for literally 3 months, 90 days. You know, they were basically the 90-day fiancés of the 2021 MLB regular season. And then once the All-Star break happened, they just bounced, you know. And the Braves took over. Everybody was criticizing the Braves. Oh, why are you making these trades? Ron Acuña Jr. is injured out for the rest of the year, and then the Braves, they went for it, and you know, their perseverance paid off, you know. So, I mean, you know, like last year, the Dodgers were always knocking on that door to try to win the title. They got it. Now this year, it's the Braves. The Braves, you know, Braves is an extremely talented team, and you know, as a Mets fan, you know, I hate to be right, but, you know, I knew this was going to happen, you know. Basically, you know, I've seen all my teams that I hate, you know, win a title. So, I mean, that's how it is, you know. Till the Mets get their act together, which Lord knows when, because they can't get anybody to come and take their job, you know. The jobs that they're offering, the GM job, the president of baseball operations, the managerial job, they've been turned down by everybody. First it was, you know, the higher up, you know, people with resumes like Theo Epstein, you know, the architect of the Red Sox and the Cubs curse-breaking teams. You had Billy Beane, you know, who was Sandy Alderson's successor in Oakland for 20-something years and turned it down, you know. Obviously, you know, he had a valid reason. He didn't want to uproot his family, especially his teenage daughters, out of California. And then you had, I'm trying to think who was the other person they were looking into. David Stearns from Milwaukee. you know, they didn't get permission, and he, you know, respectfully turned them down. Then the Mets tried to go for everybody who was in the Brewers organization, and they flat out turned them down. And then afterwards, everybody just keep turning them down. You know, they even people who would have got an upgrade turned them down, like Raquel Fierro.
No, it's like no one wants to work for the Mets.
Nobody does. Raquel Fierro, you know, she, you know, she's worked 23 years with the Red Sox. Mets was offering her a position, you know, but she, you know, she could have made history, but you know, she decided to stay with the Red Sox and look for a better opportunity with a better team. So, you know, that's the state of the Mets, you know. Bob Melvin.
They should hire you, Will.
They're gonna interview me, and then I'm gonna read the newspaper that I somehow respectfully declined, even though I didn't. You know, that's what I thought. I saw you respectfully decline in the article once.
I did.
I'm not surprised, but yeah, they should hire me. I would actually would have done it. I would actually go on the interview and, you know, take the job. But you know, I don't think anybody, they want anybody who's passionate about the Mets, you know. I think they
yeah,
just want
to. No, they don't like passionate people. No, of course not. Nah.
They just want to hire, they just want to hire people, I guess they can just, you know, give them the X's and O's. Oh, yeah, apparently.
Yes,
man. What are you saying?
Yeah, they want to hire yes men.
Yeah, that's what Chili Davis was basically saying. Like, he didn't think Zach Scott, who was the then GM at the time, after the Jared Porter incident, he was saying, like, you know, he got fired from the Mets, you know, he felt like, because Zach Scott was an analytical person, and then they hired this guy, Hugh Quantumbaum or something like that, and when they hired the hitting coach, they were saying, like, the results isn't important, but the process is. But like Chili Davis was saying, that doesn't make any sense because, you know, if the results isn't there, then the process isn't working, you know. And the Mets offense went even worse after they got rid of Chili Davis. Chili Davis was a great hitter back in his days. I think he even hit 350 home runs, if I'm not mistaken. And then, you know, and then not to mention he was a very good hitting coach as well. And I think the Mets had a little knee-jerk reaction and fired him. And then that was around the time when the Mets, you know, Pete Alonso had the fake hitting coach called Donnie Stevenson, you know, and then they end up firing him. And I think they fired him after a Mets win too, when they actually maybe even scored runs, I think, on that game.
Wow.
My memory served me right. So it was like it was just a dumb timing. It reminded me so much of the Willie Randolph firing when they fired him on the road in Anaheim. You know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning our time, and it was like midnight over there in California, and they fired him on the road. And they won that game too. Like, it was just a head scratching decision by the Mets. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not something that's foreign to the Mets making, you know, these crazy decisions. I mean, they did trade away, you know, Tom Seaver in 77, you know, but that's not the hero there. But, I mean, you know, the Mets, man, it's just when you think there was a light at the end of the tunnel with all these, with this young core, you know, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, you know, on paper, you know, before the season start, you know, Lindor was, you know, as a talented player. I mean, you're expecting he should have a bounce back here. You know, hopefully they can re-sign Baez. They did offer Noah Syndergaard and Conforto qualifying offers. So now it's up to the guys to accept it or reject it. And you know, worst case scenario, those guys leave, At least you'll get a compensation pick for it. But yeah, the Mets, you know, they gotta improve this team, man. They gotta sign Chris Bryant. I know there's some rumors about Correa coming either to the Mets or the Yankees, but the Astros offered him a 5-year, $150 million contract.
Yeah, I saw that contract. That's a huge contract there.
Mm-hmm.
You think any other team will offer something more?
I think your boys.
Nah,
will.
I don't think so because I don't think they value Correa as. I mean, his numbers are decent. Don't get me wrong, but
mm-hmm.
and he plays some great defense. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they go that crazy for Astro player, to be honest with you. Especially with all this controversy surrounding them. But who knows?
I think if Steinbrenner was still around, he definitely went after him, for sure. I mean, he went after, if he could go after Red Sox, like, you know, Clemens and Wade Boggs and Damon and all these, you know, former Red Sox, Steinbrenner would have went after him. You know, anybody who would help them win a title, he's going to go after them.
You think the Mets will go after him?
He even pillaged the 86 Mets team, you know, with Doc and Darryl, he wants, but you know, it's a different era. But do I think the Mets will go after him? No, I don't think so. And I think the Mets should go after Bryant instead anyway, because Bryant wouldn't forfeit their 14th, their number 14 pick, first round pick, you know, that they got because they didn't draft Kumar.
But I thought the Mets have money to spend now.
Yeah, but I think they would spend the money on Bryant, and probably re-signing Stroman, or maybe going after Robbie Ray. Even though Yankees are most likely going to go after him as well. So, I don't know if they're going to – I assume they're going to try to re-sign Conforto. I mean, if Conforto rejects the qualifying offer, re-sign Syndergaard, you know. But I think the guy they really got to go after is Bryant, because you need a legit third baseman. And that's going to give you the first legit third baseman since David Wright. And third base has always been a position where Mets have always been looking for a third baseman, an everyday third baseman. So I think Chris Bryant would be the perfect fit. You try to re-sign Bias, put him at second, and, you know, you sign Bryant, put him at third, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And then they'll deal with the Cano drama and hope that Jeff McNeil can bounce back, you know. I think that's about it. I could think off the top of my head regarding the Mets. What about your guys? Who do you think the Yankees are going to go after?
You know, right now, I don't know. You know, that's something that we need to find out. I mean, I know Gardner, it looks like his days with the Yankees is
mm-hmm.
over with. Yankees declined to re-sign him. And,
yeah, makes sense.
But, yeah, maybe they might look into probably signing Correa
mm-hmm.
Or I'm hearing, what's the other player? Volpe?
Which one? Trevor Story?
No, Volpe? What's this guy?
Volpe, I think that's a Yankee prospect.
No. I'm not him. I'm thinking of someone else.
A shortstop, right? Let me think. What other popular
second baseman.
From the Dodger, right? No, I'm trying to think.
It'll come to my mind later. But
is Bellinger the person I'm thinking of?
I can't even think right now. But
no, Seager. Seager is the person I'm thinking of.
Maybe that is it.
Seager is one of the person that they're thinking about going after. Seager, Story from the Rockies.
Maybe it is Story.
Obviously Correa.
Correa, yeah. I mean, who knows right now? You know, the Yankees need to make they need to improve right now, their team. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think some of these older guys needed to go. Gardner, I mean, he's been a great Yankee, but his time,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has passed. So hopefully we can get younger.
Maybe the Yankees
need more pitching.
Maybe the Yankees might sign Jock Peterson, and then he'll try to win 3 titles in a row.
Hey, maybe. Maybe.
He'll be like, what's the name of that guy again? Darn, that guy that played the Mets. Oh, Ben Zobrist.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He won the title with the Rockies and, no, the Royals in 2015. Then he won the title with the Cubs in 2016. And, you know.
Yeah.
And he broke, you know, long streaks of those teams not winning a title in a long time. Royals didn't win a title in exactly 30 years that year. And then, of course, 2016, the Cubs curse finally got broken thanks to him and Theo Epstein and Bryant and Baez and the rest of the crew. But yeah, we'll definitely keep you guys posted. I mean, hey, you guys might even try to go after Scherzer or Verlander.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Well, Verlander, I mean, he hasn't pitched in over a year, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know about him.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, shifting gears to WWE, man, where do you even start? Like, all these cuts, man, like, it's unacceptable. Like, they fired so many people that they invested a lot of money and airtime to. Here are the names: Keith Lee, who they just changed his name to Bearcat Lee, Nia Jax, who's been there for forever, Karrion Kross, who they just finally called up like either earlier this year or last year, I can't even remember. It's like a blur. Eva Marie, who they just re-signed and hyped her up. Amber Moon, former champion, former NXT champion as well. Scarlett Bordeaux, who would have been like a textbook Vince McMahon diva, but they fired her before she even had a chance to debut in WWE. I mean, she had a cup of coffee before she like officially signed. Like, she fought Nia Jax, but that was before she had, you know, like in a squash match. But she never like fought in WWE other than NXT. She was more of a valet to, you know, her real life fiance Karrion Kross, who got released. You know, that's another person that they underutilized, a guy who was literally the NXT champion before he you know, that he got called up to WWE, you know, to Raw. You know, Keith Lee, Frankie Monet, former you know, Impact champion, you know, was recently NXT, you know, also the wife of John Morrison, released her. Mia Yim, Keith Lee's fiance. Another popular indie wrestler, Harry Smith, British Bulldog's son, who briefly was with who was a former he used to fight in WWE with the Heart what was it, Heart Legacy, what was it called again?
Was it called the Heart Legacy?
I forgot. I
think it was called the Heart. Maybe it was the Heart Legacy.
Yeah, remember when him and
yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that
was
when Natalya first debuted, like a decade
right.
ago. Oney Larkin from NXT, B Fab, who was just called up with Hit Row like 2 weeks ago, and then they fire her like for no reason. Like, like, come on, like WWE. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Jesse Kamea from NXT, Zeta Reamer, Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, Jet Rima, Grand Metalik, and Lince Dorado, you know, from Lucha House Party. Yeah, man. I mean, and then you top it off with them firing Aleister Black after they hyped him up for 7 months. And then they release him the next week after he kicks Big E, and then there was no payoff to that. Fire Bray Wyatt. I mean, it's like, what is WWE doing? And apparently, yeah, John Laurinaitis is back. Like, you know, I mean, like, seriously, what is WWE doing? Like, these are not, let's be real, this is not budget cuts. You have enough money for all these pyrotechnics. Like, what are you doing? This is a joke.
Yeah, I mean, I know because of the pandemic, you know, WWE has had to make a lot of cuts, and you know their revenue is slightly lower than what it was a couple of years ago. But still, I mean, they're still $1 billion company, making lots of money, especially with this Fox deal that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can still afford some of these wrestlers, and you know they no longer have that WWE app, so they don't have to worry about pulling money out of their own pockets,
mm-hmm.
To finance this application. I mean, they're still making a lot of money, so I don't know why they couldn't retain some of these superstars, especially a guy like Keith Lee,
mm-hmm.
who has a lot of potential, and then they ruined him by calling him Bearcat, turning him into a villain, and
that
guy has
no
job. Yeah, I don't get it.
It's crazy.
I don't get what WWE is trying to do right now.
They don't know what they're doing. There's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. There is literally no rhyme or reason to what they're doing.
I mean, if WCW was still around, you know, WCW would grab a lot of these superstars. And, of course,
yeah.
WCW wouldn't know what to do with them either. But still,
yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, all they're going to do, WWE is just helping AEW to eventually overtake them.
Yeah, but, you know, AEW can't take all these wrestlers. They don't have, you know, they don't have the WWE money to afford a lot of these wrestlers.
I mean,
so.
They do have a billionaire owner in Tony Khan, too, but, like, it's just insane. It's insane of what's going on with the state of WWE. Like, you can't even get attached to these people. Like, I mean, you're attached to them, and then they just fire them without no. And then it's like Vince McMahon has this whole saying about the brass rings that he's been talking about, the millennial athlete, how they don't have the drive that you know the old school guys did back in our days. You know, when we first fell in love with professional wrestling. You know, in the late 90s, well, for me, late 90s, early 2000s, I mean, you were a fan in the 90s, the early 90s. But, yeah, man, these men and women are trying, and they're getting released. Like, if it was, like, somebody who you didn't see was, you know, busting their behind, you know, to earn a living, you could say, okay, well, they deserve it. But a lot of these people earned their keep. Like Amber Moon was injured. She came back and, you know, after she missed like maybe what a year or two or so of her career, she came back and went to NXT. When the NXT tag team titles with, trying to remember her name. She just attacked, Sasha Banks like last week. I'm trying to remember her name. What's her name again? What's her name? Escape me. Why I can't remember her name for some reason. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I think I can't remember her name.
Yeah, well, can't remember. I always remember her name, but for some reason I can't remember her name. Like, she got She has the green hair. She rides the paint.
Ember Moon?
No, not Ember Moon. What's her name?
No, it's not Ember. Yeah, Ember Moon's black, by the way.
Yeah. No, but funny thing is, she was tag team with Ember Moon in NXT before. Called up.
Yeah.
And then they made her team up with Tegan Nox. Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can find. I don't know why I can't remember her name for some reason. This is ridiculous. I can't remember her name for some reason. What was her name? I can't even remember. Let's see, what was her name again? Yes, Shotzi Blackheart. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know. Okay.
So yeah, like she was teaming up with Shotzi Blackheart, and then she gets called. You know, Shotzi gets called up, and she turns heel on Sasha Banks and attacked her. But yeah, but back to the releases. Yeah, it makes no sense. Like you really got to rehaul the creative team. If you can't find any ideas for Bray Wyatt, you can't keep Rusev, you can't keep Bray Wyatt. Like you can't keep Keith Lee, you can't keep Karrion Kross. Like what are you doing? What are you doing as a company? You're literally sitting on your laurels and just, you know, picking up money for your past success. They're not innovators anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, the state of WWE. They're making all this money and they're not even doing anything with it. You got people busting their behinds and they're getting released, cut left and right.
I mean, yes. Some of the names on this, you know, this year alone, Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
James, Aleister Black, and now, you know, Keith Lee. I mean, there's a lot of superstars that have a lot of potential.
Who's
and you
next?
Let them go.
Who's next? Liv Morgan. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Who? Cesaro.
Probably. Yeah, that's going to come next.
And then you're
going to have to wrestle for WWE.
Yeah. I'm going to have to wrestle and do this show simultaneously. And then my match is going to end in disqualification. Because that's how all these matches end nowadays. Let me tell you how bad WWE is. Let me tell you how bad WWE is. Real talk. Uh-huh. WWE is so bad that Charlotte Flair, the current woman champion, reportedly wants out of it.
Mm, yeah.
That's how bad it is. Like, you know, she's the current champion. She's won, like, at least 13 titles, you know, with this company. She's the current champion. But reportedly she wants out of the company because, you know, they fired her father, who's been with the company forever, Ric Flair. And then they release her fiance Andrade, which is another guy who has mad talent. You know, Andrade I think might have been the one that wanted out because of, you know, how they're not using him. Kevin Owens is reportedly might leave in a couple. His contract might end in 3 months. You know. So yeah, man, the state of WWE is really bad. Like people are just waiting to jump ship to AEW for the most part.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really disheartening to see the state of WWE. They have all this talent and then they just underutilize them and then let them go, release them and say it's budget cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you have money to spend on pyrotechnics. You couldn't save the pyrotechnics for the major events. You couldn't save the pyrotechnics for for Survivor Series that's coming in a couple of weeks. You couldn't save it for that. You couldn't save it for the big pay-per-view events, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. If y'all would have had the King of the Ring tournament, y'all could have used it for that too, or SummerSlam. But no, every show has to have a pyrotechnic. If they brought back Velocity and Heat, they would have pyrotechnics for that too. Like,
crazy. That's crazy.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, you're wasting money on pyrotechnics, and you don't use the wrestlers who have star power. You're wasting your money on firepower. And smoking, you know, smoking mirrors, but when you have talent, real talent that you could have used, that would have sparked the interest of the fan base by you pushing them. It's a joke. It's a straight up joke what they're doing. But I'm trying to think what happened this week. Woods defeated Jimmy Uso, and by, you know, as a result, Jimmy Uso was supposed to bend the knee to King Woods, but, you know, they got ambushed by Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, the rest of the Usos, you know, from the Bloodline. What else happened in WWE this week? Oh yeah, Becky Lynch defeated what's her name again? Bianca Belair for the 18,000th time already. I'm trying to think. It was some screwy ending. I can't even remember. I think she maybe hit her. She probably bounced Bianca Belair's head on an exposed turnbuckle and pinned her. I think that's what happened.
I can't even remember. I mean, that's the state WWE is in. I can't even remember what happened sometimes on both SmackDown.
It's the same stuff. All you know is that ending disqualification or some lame ending. That's how all the matches ended.
Oh, and plus I was watching the Nick game yesterday, so that's all.
That's true. Right, that is true. Yeah. That Bucks win, man. The Bucks stops here with the Knicks, and
yeah,
you know, WWE got to compete with the Knicks now.
Exactly, and I'm gonna choose the Knicks every time.
Yep, and now they finally going back to MSG. You know, now they got to compete for the Knicks. You know, in every sense now, because they thought, you know, in the summertime, you know, they got the Garden, you know, easily. You know, they didn't have to worry about the Garden. Playing any playoff games, but now,
mm-hmm.
you know, now they got to troll. That's why they got to troll us out of jealousy. You know, they're gonna have to bring back Trae Young because he's gonna be sitting right next to us in the stands. You know, because his Hawks are gonna get eliminated.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Faster than you could say, bing bang.
Me and Will be at the Garden tomorrow, so hopefully we meet that Bing Bong guy.
Maybe, yeah. And you know what's the funny thing is? The Bing Bong thing is really, you know, the person trying to imitate, like this YouTube channel, and basically, and that channel, the channel is trying to mimic the MTA sound effect. You know, like when you're on the train and you hear the guy like, "Stand clear of the closing doors, please."
I heard another story where the guy who got the Bing Bong, he got it from a rapper who came out with a song, and the song is called Bing Bong.
Well, yeah, I heard of that too.
You know, that's this rapper is a Coney Island guy who's a Big Knicks fan, and he's the one that originated the Bing Bong thing, and this guy is copying him. So I heard
that too. Like, according to the quote unquote Bing Bong guy, he took it from a YouTube channel that does it. And then afterwards, the rapper who came up with the Bing Bong song, he I guess, confronted the guy and, you know, let him know that the guy took his song or something, his Bing Bong. So
yeah,
apparently that was the controversy.
Yeah, he was on Carton Roberts talking about it.
Right.
Carton and Carton Roberts is the
WFAN
show, right? Yeah.
Mhm. So yeah, hopefully we could get a W there. Oh yeah, before we head out, AEW. They're gonna have a pay per view event next week. I mean, yeah, next week. Around this time, called Full Gear. Let me give some picks right here. Christian Cage and Jurassic Express, which has Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. They're going to be fighting the Super Click, which has Adam Cole, and the Young Bucks, which is Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. I think Super Click will win that one. Then Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, a match that was made official last night on Rampage, when Eddie Kingston was cutting a promo on CM Punk, which I would definitely recommend you guys check it out. You know, Eddie Kingston was basically saying that CM Punk and the other veterans, indie veterans, were criticizing him because he was overweight. And CM Punk was saying that, you know, the veterans were criticizing him because they saw the potential in him. And, you know, but Eddie Kingston, you know, apparently took it to heart and had a chip on his shoulder. So he really wants to fight CM Punk, and they're going to have he's going to have his wish, because they're going to throw down next Saturday. I'm picking CM Punk to win this one.
By the way, how is CM Punk doing in AEW? I haven't been following.
He's doing great. You know, every week he cuts a promo. I mean, every episode he cuts a promo on either show. He's still a huge draw. He's been great on AEW. He looks like he has a new lease on life. He's finally got his passion for wrestling back again. So, you know, I'm happy for him. Darby Allin is going to be fighting MJF. I could see this match going either way. I think MJF is going to win this one, and they might force another matchup between these two, and Darby will get the revenge afterwards, I would presume. Then you have Lucha Brothers, Penta El Zero Miedo, and Rey Fénix versus FTR, formerly known as The Revival, Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, with Tully Blanchard as their manager. I predict that the FTR will regain the title. And FTR got a new theme song, man. It sounds good. It sounds like the Midnight Express, you know, theme song. Then you got Inner Circle. Obviously, you know, it has Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz versus Man of the Year with Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, and America Top Team, which has Junior Dos Santos, Andre Orlovsky, and surprisingly Dan Lambert, when Chris Jericho pulled a fast one on the creator of the America Top Team and put him into the match, because that guy was talking a lot of smack about AEW wrestlers, and now Chris Jericho and the rest of the Inner Circle finally can get their hands on him. You know, it's like the equivalent of, you know, a wrestler getting their hands on Paul Heyman, you know, in WWE. So, you know, the Inner Circle is definitely going to relish that opportunity, and yeah, the Inner Circle is going to win this match, and yeah, they're definitely going to humiliate and get the pin on Dan Lambert. But yeah, but those American top team, man, those are real legit MMA fighters, so it's not going to be easy, you know, fight. Jake Hager is a fighter as well. I mean, he's undefeated in Bellator, so yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup, you know, 10-man tag team for the Minneapolis street fight. Then you got this one, it could be the match of the night right here. You got Bryan Danielson versus Miro, formerly known as Rusev. And, yeah, they're going to fight in the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament final. And the winner, which is basically a King of the Ring. And the winner will get a number one contendership for the AEW championship that Kenny Omega holds as we speak. Yeah, I'm picking. Wow, this is a tough one. Man, I could see it go either way. Man, yeah, wow, I really have to flip a coin on this one. It makes sense for Miro to win it, but then again, Miro has this, you know, gimmick where, you know, he called himself God's favorite champion, but now he has a rivalry against God because he feels like God abandoned him. So,
what?
Yes, he pulled a page out of Vince McMahon. Now Miro,
in AEW.
Yeah. Miro, you know, formerly known as Rusev, he has beef with God because he used to call himself God's champion or God's favorite champion, but he lost the TNT title to who was it again? Sammy Guevara, which was a huge upset. This was like Razor Ramon losing to 1-2-3 Kid. You know, even though Sammy Guevara is a talented guy, you know, but he's like a Hispanic X-Pac when you think about it, you know. Except Sammy Guevara is more of a high flyer than X-Pac was. But yeah, they're very similar in that effect. But yeah, Miro, ever since then, Miro's had this feud with God for this past several weeks, cutting promos. So Miro winning would make sense. I normally would pick him. I would pick him, but for this reason, I'm going to pick Daniel Bryanson because Miro would, you know, it makes more sense for Bryan Danielson to you know, win the title, and then Miro could keep up the feud with God. But then again, if he wins it, then he could say it's out of spite. So realistically, it makes more sense for Miro to win it. But I'll pick Bryan Danielson to win it. Then you got Dr. Britt Baker versus Ty Conti. Baker's going to retain it. And then Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page. Yeah. See, if Bryan Danielson wins it, then it makes more sense for Kenny Omega to retain. But if Miro wins it, then it makes more sense for Hangman Adam Page to win. So you could have a heel versus babyface matchup. But you know what? I'm going to pick – oh, man. I could see this going either way. I don't know if they're going to make Kenny Omega lose the title right now. But for the storyline, it makes more sense for Kenny Omega to lose it. I'd say most likely Kenny Omega is going to win. But I'm going to pick Hangman Adam Page. It makes a better storyline for Hangman Adam Page to climb up that hill of, you know, his sobriety and winning the title against his former tag team partner, Kenny Omega. So that's my pick. Kenny Omega will lose to Hangman Adam Page. Thanks, Mac, for coming on the show. Thank you for checking out
no
this
problem,
season
man.
13. Thank you. Season 13 premiere show. the 12th anniversary of the show that aired in November 2nd, 2009. And I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.